Welcome to the Sermon Coach Podcast. Hope that you've had a good period of time between the last podcast and this one. We certainly have. My name's Dean Wilson. I'm your host today. And with me is Dr. David Maines, the director of SermonCoach.com. And we're talking about helping pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. Last time, we were examining the four questions that need to be answered early on in sermon preparation. Today, we'll look at questions two and three. By way of review, David, what was question one?
Question one is, what's the subject I'm dealing with? We looked in past times at the passage in Luke 14, where Jesus said, when you give a luncheon or dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. So I ask you what that subject was. You said it was hospitality. That's perfect. And when I heard that passage preached on about 3 weeks ago, it was clear that that's what the subject was for that pastor as well.
Very good. What's the deal? What's the big deal about nailing down the answers to these kinds of questions?
Well, if you don't know what the answer to as basic a question is, what's my subject, you're not only going to be in trouble, your people are going to be in trouble. So with that passage, this minister knew what his subject was. Now, the next question, which is question number two, is what is it you want people to do? So Jesus is talking about hospitality. You know what Jesus says to the people when you are hospitable or when you give a banquet? Most people don't give banquets, but when you invite people over or whatever, I don't want you to do this, I want you to do this. What is he saying to the people?
He's telling them how he expects them to respond to the teaching that he's given.
Okay, and what specifically does he say? He says, I don't want you to invite those who are close to you and your friends and buddies. You enjoy going on having coffee together, but you invite someone else. And when he tells what they are supposed to do, you kind of gulp. Is that really what you mean? Because he says, don't invite those who can invite you back, but invite the underprivileged, you know, those who are lame or blind or in some way disadvantaged. Now, it's interesting because the sermon I heard, that's exactly what was said. You are not to invite the ones who can invite you back, but those who can't invite you back. And that was very clear. Where his sermon fell down, this sermon I went to hear this minister, I'd never been to the church before, but I was taking my friend who spoke Spanish, and the sermon was in Spanish. So I didn't get clearer in my mind because I was hearing it in Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish that well, you know, high school Spanish many, many years ago. But I talked to my friend, and I said, what did he say? And he said, don't invite those people you like and are your buddies. So I said, what is it that he said you were supposed to do? And he said, invite the people who are blind and those who don't have much money and those who can't invite you back. Well, wonderful. This minister has answered, what's my subject? What's the response I've called for? Now, the next question, which is the third question, subject response, the next question is how to. And I said to my friend who speaks Spanish and just a little bit of English, we're driving home from church, I said, did he tell you how to do this, how to invite those kind of people? I mean, maybe you don't have any friends who can't invite you back. He said, no, he didn't tell us how to do that. So now we've come to a third question. I know my subject, hospitality. I know the response being called for. Invite those who are not as privileged as you are, and they don't have the advantages you do. So invite them next time you do something. Well, how to do that? Do people know how to do that? The truth is, most people, that's totally foreign to their way of living. So I asked my friend, his name is Cirillo, I said, do you think you'll do this? He said, probably not. And I said, why? He said, I don't know any of those people. And I said, well, why should you do this? He said, I don't know. He said, because Jesus said so. I said, who's Jesus? Well, Jesus is God's son. Does that give it any further meaning? Yeah, it does. Do you think you'll do it? No. And I said, well, why wouldn't you? He says, because I never invite anybody anyway. So somehow the minister had gotten the subject, he'd gotten the response, but he never related in terms of the how-to to a visitor like Cirillo, who is now in church for the second time in probably the last 30 years of his life, never got to the place where there was some meaningful way that Cirillo could relate to that passage. He knew exactly what Jesus said, but he didn't know how to do it.
And that would probably be true whether it was Cirillo or someone who was in church every Sunday and had been every Sunday for 30 years. If I don't tell you how I want you to do something, you're likely You're not picking up any cues as to how to go about responding in the way that I've brought out of the text that Jesus was asking you to
respond.
You're
exactly right. In fact, for my own case, now I've worked with this text a long time. In fact, one of the reasons Cirillo's living with us in our home is because of this very text. You know, now Cirillo has come up. He has all his papers and everything. He comes up every summer. And he was living with a gentleman, and the gentleman died. Now, I didn't know Cirillo that well. He used to be a gardener for my brother part of his time. But the gentleman died. He had nowhere to go. And I heard about it. I said, well, you can come and live with us. And he said, well, how much would it be? And I said, you don't have to pay us anything. We got a room in the basement. You're more than welcome to live there. Well, he was very thrilled. So now I have somebody who has no church background, and I'm trying to get him so he understands Christian things. And he has only limited English. He can talk words and how much is this or, you know, that kind of thing. I can tell him simple things, but anything conceptual, when you get into the gospel, you're conceptualizing. And it's hard for him. And I got to get him to a church. So I found a church where they were speaking Spanish, and I took him there. But, you know, he was able to understand this is what Jesus said, so I know the subject, I know what is expected of me, but I'm not going to do it. Now, is that because he's a bad man? No, it's because he doesn't know how to do that. I mean, he doesn't even invite those to lunch or whatever who are people who could repay him, you know. So somewhere the minister missed out because he never got into the how-to in a way that was meaningful. And you're exactly right, Dean. I would say that probably for the most part the people in the congregation thought that's a very neat thing. And Jesus did that his whole life. He reached out to the underprivileged and those who were disadvantaged. But I don't know how to do that. So basically the sermon text got thrown away.
It's interesting to me as I'm listening to you describe this and how important it is to give people the way to do what the expected response is to the sermon. But it also occurs to me that I've heard hundreds, if not thousands, of sermons where I didn't have a clue what I was supposed to do because the pastor who was preaching never gave me a response. He never shared, or she never shared, what it was I was to do. So the third question, how to do it, obviously hinges very much on that second question, what's the expected response? So right out of the gate, if a pastor is not dealing with the subject, not deciding what it is I'm preaching about, and then doesn't say, how do I want the people to respond, then we might as well just pack up and let the sermon-sucking black hole the sermon away.
Exactly.
So subject's very, very important. Expected response is very important. And then once you've nailed those two, you have to come up with an explanation of how you're going to do this.
Now, the how-to is almost never in the text. And part of the reason it's not in the text is that the way Jesus would have answered for the people in his day is going to be very different than our culture in our day. But it's the job of the communicator to say, this is what Jesus is saying. Here's his subject, hospitality. Here's the response he wants. Invite those people who can't invite you back. Now, let me tell you how to do it. The truth of the matter is, that minister maybe didn't know how to do it. Maybe he doesn't do it himself. Then you have to say, I haven't been doing this. I'm going to try these things, but I need to bring my life in line with what Jesus said. He never got to the how-to. And the reason he didn't is because he doesn't think in those terms. And so I'm saying, start thinking in those terms. Subject, response, how-to. There's one more question we're going to get to. But very, very early on in your sermon preparation, if you don't know the answer to those questions, you are not going to get people to change in their lives. So you have an informational sermon. This is what Jesus said. Isn't that neat? Nobody lives that way. I mean, it's impossible. Who in the world is going to invite the lame and the blind and so on, you know? Or otherwise, you are bringing about a transformational sermon, which says, I never lived that way, but that's the way God wants me to live. If everybody lived that way, this would be a wonderful world. I think I will try to live like Jesus said. And thank you for telling me what he said and giving me handles as to how to do it.
What you're really saying is, we're teaching people to be disciples. We want them to be followers of Jesus. We want them to do the things that he expects us to do. We have to communicate that. When pastors are preaching, they have to communicate what the expected response is and how to go about doing it. It occurs to me that the how-to is a very key aspect of relevancy in a sermon. We'll talk more about relevancy in another podcast, but one of the ways you relate to today's culture is by fashioning the how-to relate to the way we live today. That helps make the text come alive for people.
Oh, there's no question. When you get into the hospitality, it may be too big a step to say, I'm going to invite a blind person over. But a minister could say, okay, who is someone who most people avoid just because they aren't the party type of person or the person you enjoy having over? Everybody would like to have the headliner over, you know, but that person's going to get more than enough invitations. You figure out who the person is who doesn't get invitations and who would immensely enjoy your hospitality for a time. Now, as I began to work with that, I found there are certain people that I say, well, I think Jesus would invite so-and-so over. And I think, oh, man, not so-and-so. I don't want to invite so-and-so. That's the dullest person in the whole world. But then I invited that person over, and truth of the matter is it was pretty dull. But at the same time, I felt like I grew in my Christian life because I followed Jesus' words. And that person is never going to invite me back. I know that person won't because that person's not capable of doing that. And I thought, well, Jesus, I learned a lot. I learned what your life must have been like coming from heaven and to a bunch of ragtaggles like us and reaching out to us. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. I became more Christ-like. I grew in that whole situation, and it wasn't a step that was so big that I couldn't take it. You know, it was just a simple step. But somehow making simple for people so they can visualize it and see themselves taking that step, the how-to is very important. It's not in the text for the most part. You know, if you say, I want people to pray more, it doesn't tell you how to pray. But then it's the minister's job to say, this is how to do it. And the how to, of all the questions, is probably the hardest one of the four. And if you don't know the answer, then don't preach the sermon until you can tell people how to do it. Otherwise, you're leading down a blind alley. You're asking them to take a leap that's too big.
Okay, we've given them pastors an example from hospitality. Can you think of another sermon and show how the how to ties in?
Okay, well, if you say you're talking about growing spiritually, that's your topic, and one of the ways to grow spiritually is spend time in the scriptures. Now, that's a very easy thing for ministers to understand, but when you say to your people, spend time in the scriptures, I mean, you're asking them to do something. It's like saying to the pastor, pitch a slider. Well, if you're not a pitcher, you don't know how to do that. So you can say, do it, you know, how come you're not? If I don't know how to do it, I'm in trouble. So if you look at where your average person is and say, they don't know how to go to the scriptures and find for them what God wants to say. So they may need devotional materials. If you say, read your Bible, this is a huge book, and they may start in Genesis, they may start in, you know, Chronicles, they may start in Isaiah. You need to somehow break it down for them. This is what I would suggest you do this week. This is a passage to work on. So you're making a very simple how-to give it to them. And we're going to get to this question next, so I just kind of hint at it. There's also a question of expectation regarding how long. If you think that you're going to teach a person how to be a master handler of God's word in 1 week, that's not going to happen. So you have to think in terms of time frame. This is what I'm challenging you with, and I think it's going to take a period of probably several months for us to come along, but I'm giving you the ways to do this. Follow with me. Stay with me. We're going to make it. You're going to come to the place where you say, I've fallen in love with that part of the Bible. Well, Pastor's made that possible for me because he's broken it down in steps that are attainable.
It occurs to me, as you're explaining this, this how-to is so critical. You also said it's the most difficult step. And one of the things that popped into my head was the 50-day spiritual adventures that you've developed many of over the years and are available to people through your ministry. You've actually worked out these aspects in the sermons that go along with those 50 days spiritual adventure.
Yes.
And part of it is very practical, easy to follow how-to steps in the journaling process and the other supporting processes of the adventure. This is all laid out. Okay, I'm a pastor. I'm working on a sermon. What if I'm stuck and I can't come up with a how-to?
Then your sermon's not ready to be preached. But you can come up with how-tos, and you just got to get help. So that's a whole topic in itself we'll deal with. But if I were in that situation, I've been in that situation many times, I will get somebody on the phone and say, this is what I'm talking about. It's my subject. This is the response I'm calling for, and it's a biblical response, but I don't know how to tell people to pull that off. Help me. What would you say? And so I began to dialogue that with people. And whether it's on the phone or whether I take a person to breakfast, whatever. And again, until I come up with a good how-to or several how-tos, I'm not going to preach that sermon because it's only going to lead people to frustration.
You hinted at question number 4. Am I right that that's what we're going to talk about in our next podcast?
We'll try it.
Very good. We invite you to come back and join us, the Sermon Coach Podcast, part of the resources we have available to you at sermoncoach.com, sermon-coach.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time.